If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And please note that the word revelation is singular. In seminary, as I was coming through, actually it was on the floor of presbytery as I was being examined, I made the word plural, revelations. And Mr. Jack Code, David, you remember Jack, quickly corrected me and said, "Young man, there's only one revelation." I said, "Yes, sir." So we have one revelation, and it is the revelation to John. Here, the inspired, infallible word of the living God, verses 1 through 6. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. So today, as has been requested, we venture into once again the book of Revelation. And I'd once again thank Mr. Jared for encouraging us to go into this book. And as I was thinking about that, and I don't mean to embarrass Jared, but isn't it awesome that a young man in his mid-20s wants to hear from the book of Revelation? I thought that was fascinating, and I appreciate that greatly. Now, as we begin this book, the subject of this book is found in verse 1, and this is something we must hold in our thinking the entire time that we are in this book of Revelation. You look at verse 1 of chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation, revealing the work of God in his creation. And this is during the church age. There's much discussion about exactly when this is to take place, or is it taking place. There's even some who preach that it has already taken place, which I find very hard to fathom. But this is the revelation of Jesus Christ during the church age, which is from the first coming of Jesus Christ until his second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is telling of the time that we now occupy from the time of Jesus' first coming, as I've said, to his second. Now, I want to emphasize verse 3. If you would, please go with me to verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear. According to this, simply reading this word as I have just done, and you hearing this word as you have just done, then we are a blessed people. As we study this word each week, as we read it time and time again, we, by this word, are blessed to have this word here to us, for us, and then be able to comprehend and understand. Even in a small portion, as we've said many, many times, this book is very, very challenging. The symbols and signs and fantastic language, it's sometimes very difficult to understand. But please know that you are a blessed person today simply by hearing the reading of this word. So I ask you, when you hear the name, the book of Revelation, what is your first thought? What is your first thinking when you hear the word, the title, the book of Revelation? this thought that you have right now can have a lot to do with your understanding of this book. Over the years, this book has been treated in many, many different ways. It has been feared. It has been preached well. It's been misunderstood. It has been avoided. I forget who it was, but somebody in Sunday school or Bible study the other night said, I just totally avoided the book altogether. As I said, it's caused fear. Some of you have told me of your experience with the book in your younger years, and it just brought a sense of fright. So what much of what you think about your book, about this book now, your presupposition will have a lot to do with how you understand it. So let's do away with the presuppositions. Let's do away with the presuppositions and let's come at this book as it is given to us, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Greek, it reads this way, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard that word before. Apocalypses, apocalyptic. That word simply means to reveal. Yet, today when we hear that word, apocalyptic, or apocalypses, it means the end, the destruction. I heard one newscaster describing the Hurricane Ian's destruction in Florida as apocalyptic in nature. Well, Hurricane Ian revealed? No. That's not what the word means. It simply means to unveil, to reveal the revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypses of Jesus Christ. So an improper presupposition can cloud our thinking. Our presuppositions, our worldviews, our paradigms are how we view the world at large. And so whatever filter we're using to view the world is how we interpret. And the same holds true here. So if we have a bad or negative or an inferior presupposition of this book, it's going to cloud everything we talk about in regard to the book. One of the presuppositions about the book is that it's about end times. Well, that's actually true. However, the presupposition is that the end times have not yet begun. And so this book is future. So the question needs to be asked, when did end times begin? When did they start, or are they already started? Are we in the end times? And so see, that presupposition you have controls, influences how you interpret, understand this book. And by the way, we are in the end times, and we have been in the end times since Jesus' resurrection. Another common presupposition is that this book can be used to explain particular events of our day. One gentleman I heard long, long ago said that the devouring locusts that you read of in chapter 9 are the Black Hawk helicopters that we see in our world today. No. There are those that will teach that, and we will hear this when I get to them, that you'll see animals, an eagle, a bear, and a dragon. Well, to some, the eagle is the United States. The bear is the old Soviet Union, Russia, and the dragon is China. No, that's not what those are. So see, these presuppositions, these ideas, can totally cause us to abuse the teaching of this book. And this is a challenging statement, so let me explain it a little bit. The book of Revelation, outside the first three chapters, the book of Revelation is not intended to be interpreted literally. It is not to be used to explain present-day events literally. The locusts are not Black Hawk helicopters. We are not to get so involved in the imagery that we miss the message. So we must come to our study with the book of Revelation with a clean slate, praying for the Holy Spirit to teach us. So how are we to approach this book? And again, I go back to verse 1, first portion of verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is about Jesus Christ and his interaction with the church and with Satan and his attacks on the people of God throughout the church age. That's the intent of the book. About Jesus Christ and his church and the attacks from Satan on the people of God throughout the church age. And then we see also here in verse 4, the audience that is to receive this book. Verse 4, John says he's writing to the seven churches that are in Asia. And when we get over to chapter 2 and 3, we will see those seven letters written specifically to those particular churches. But here what is meant is seven churches to the church at large, total, complete. Seven means complete. And so the letter is to be written to the entire church. Revelation is about the work of Jesus Christ and the church and the things that will happen during the church age. And so this book is written to encourage the people of the church. And according to verse 1, it is writing about the things that soon must take place. This book was written in about AD 95. So this idea of here, John writing that it must soon take place, we can't put in our minds that soon means, oh, yeah, just in the next 5 minutes. Soon take place, again, taking place in the church age. But the things that will take place. So again, how do we interpret this book? How do we understand it? And sorry, but I'm going to get a bit technical here to help us understand. To begin to answer the question of interpretation, we must look first at its style of literature. There are many styles in the Bible. Historical narrative, which tells a story. Poetry, Psalms, Proverbs. Personal letters like 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John we've just read or just studied. The first three chapters of Revelation are considered letters written to churches. But the remainder of the book, beginning of chapter 4, is where it gets difficult. The literature style beginning in chapter 4 is called apocryphal. A-P-O-C-R-Y-P-H-A-L. Apocryphal. This was a common style of writing in the first century. Apocryphal means, and this is important, apocryphal means that its message is hidden. Hidden. The message is hidden, meaning that the subject will be discussed using symbols and represented language hidden from those who do not understand the teaching found within the book. Again, that's why the book is so challenging to read. Its message is actually hidden. And its message is to be unveiled, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling, to those who read this book, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, we come to understand it. Apocryphal. A road sign on the highway can be said to be apocryphal. Never thought of it that way, did you? A road sign can be thought of as apocryphal. We go down the road and we see a sign. It's yellow. And it has a bold black line on it, curving off to one side, and then it has an arrow on it. Well, unless you understand what that means, to a three-year-old, that sign means nothing. But to you who are educated in those things, understand that that sign is revealing to you a message. There's a curve. That's apocryphal. The message is hidden. But by those who have the ability to understand and comprehend, we can perceive the message that it's written or given to us. It's a sign warning you of a curve. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, means the truth of Jesus and his church are hidden in the text, and it's going to be unveiled and revealed using signs and symbols. Really simple, huh? Easy stuff. Not so much. As I've said, this style of literature is not to be read literally, but is to be read with the understanding that the signs and symbols, the fantastic language will be used to create an image or a picture in your mind that reveals the truth that John, the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants you to understand. Let's look at a couple of examples. Look with me at chapter 12. Go with me to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Remember, apocryphal, a hidden message that we are to perceive by the work of the Spirit as He teaches us. Chapter 12, verse 1, and a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns on his head, heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars in heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. Is this a real encounter between a woman having a baby and a dragon? No, it's not. No, it's not. It is the amazing, extravagant birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan's intent, the dragon, his intent to kill the baby Jesus. Sound familiar? We read it every Christmas, where King Herod attempted to kill the baby Jesus. In apocryphal writings, the message is primary. The details are secondary. And so that's why we have to spend so much time trying to get through the imagery to try to understand this book. Another difficult aspect of this book, Revelation, this book is not written in chronological order. It speaks of events, and through these events, the message is delivered. John will say from time to time, after this, I saw. After that, I saw this. This only means that the vision he was given was seen after the previous vision, not necessarily the event that takes place after the previous event. Confusing, right? In the book, we will get several discussions concerning the same event with the following description giving more detail, more explanation. It's called progressive repetition. Progressive repetition or revelation. Since we're at chapter 12, turn with me to chapter 15. Chapter 15, if you just skim through it, first couple of verses of chapter 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great, amazing, 7 angels with 7 plagues, which are the last, or with the wrath of God, is finished. Chapter 15 describes 7 plagues of God's judgment. Then when you go over to chapter 16, it describes the wrath using 7 bowls being poured out. That's not 2 different events. It's the same event of God's wrath and judgment, with one giving more explanation, more description than the previous one. Chapter 15 and 16 discuss the same event, with 16, the bowls, giving more detail. It may be hard to imagine, it may be hard to get our heads around right now, but the beauty of this book is that we readers will see God's work through Jesus Christ, both in heaven and on earth, and we will see the events in the heavenly realm and in the earthly realm. And He does this using fantastic language but it is to bring encouragement and comfort. Well, Pastor Tim, if we're going to go through all this judgment stuff, how is that comforting? Well, if you're a child of God, then you know how the story turns out. By the time we get to Revelation chapter 22, you will see the entire church age, and you see in the end that God wins. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you also win. And see, that's the reason for the book, is to tell you what's going to happen, but then tell you how it turns out. The book of Revelation throughout directs attention to our Lord God and His divine artistry and His work in conducting the church judgment. Satan, confining Satan. God tells us to regard Revelation with great care, and because this is His holy word. It may be difficult to understand, but it is never to be avoided. It is never to be feared, because it is the words of encouragement. Yes, there's judgment. Yes, there's tribulation. Yes, there's heartache and pain and agony. The Christians, we will suffer through those challenging times. The church is and will be and continue to be persecuted greatly. We in the United States have been held safe for the length of our history, but those times will change. Those times are changing. And so we come to a book such as Revelation and see that, yes, there's tribulation. Yes, there's heartache. Yes, there's pain. But chapter 21, where the new heavens and new earth will descend, and God will make His dwelling place with the people. Should we fear and avoid this book? Never, never, never. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to His people. It is telling us the story of the church age, done in very challenging language of signs and symbols because of its writing style. But it is the Word of God, and it is to bring peace and comfort to His people. I look forward to our study in it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, challenging words that we are approaching here. Once again, I pray for Your power, Your Spirit to be with us. Open our hearts and minds to this beautiful book, and bring the comfort and peace that You desire for a church that will be challenged in the coming days. We pray in Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.